Before I commence what is the last of this series of three talks on what freedom is, let me just make one announcement. So many of you last week and throughout this week by telephone have asked me if you could have my testimony in print. The answer to that is, it is not in print. I have, over the years, refused to have it published for this reason, that so much of my early life, you'll recall if you heard the testimony, is bound up with my mother's desertion. And the one desire I have in my life is to see my children and my mother come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And I would not do anything that would act as a barrier to her responding and finding the freedom from guilt that she needs to know today. However, the pressure has been so strong that I have asked that somebody duplicate a little sheet that gives the bare bones of my testimony. But let me underline this, that it is not for reproduction anywhere. This is only for those who have asked that they might have it in print so that they may use it in testifying and witnessing to others. If you can use it to that end and to the glory of Christ our Savior, then I invite you to take what is on the gold sheet at the table at the back. It has just the barest outline of that testimony. I have also taken the liberty of putting back there our most recent prayer letter, because so many of you asked for more detail as to what I was referring to last week about the house. Let me say, we are still praying for the house. The church at Godstone have £12,000 toward it. And that is an answer to prayer. And we rejoice in that answer to prayer. That is about halfway to what is needed. And we just are rejoicing in the Lord that He has already answered the prayer. We're just looking for it to materialize. Because you know what we read just earlier? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will do it for you. And we just want to share that joy with you at this time and ask for your real and regular prayer for the church at Godstone. And incidentally, for the wider ministry. What I have not been able to say is that the church at Godstone have released me to do much more in the way of evangelism. In fact, they have given me 4 weeks of the year to do evangelism outside of this country, and then whatever evangelism occurs in this country, they have given me the freedom to do. So you'll recognize that I'm a sort of part-time evangelist and part-time pastor, but I just love to have that pastoral base, because I don't believe that you can be an evangelist without knowing people and without sharing with people and ministering to people on a regular day-to-day basis. So will you remember that in your prayers? Now, this third talk that we have today on what freedom is follows on from the previous two, when we looked at freedom under these headings. Freedom is release. Release from self, release from our own bondage, release from failure, release from sin, release from fear. Whatever the release is, it is release. And when we are released from that, we have freedom. Then last week we looked at it under the heading of freedom is truth. We saw how that only as we are prepared to take the masks away and the veneer and pretense and hypocrisy of our lives can we really be free. only as we have the resolve to be what God has made us are we truly free. And in this final talk, I want to look at it under the heading of freedom is love. And I've placed in brackets there, freedom is service, because the two belong together. Freedom is love. We were made for relationship. Anybody that doubts that needs to go along and have a talk with the Samaritans. I have in Wandsworth what is called a telephone service called Dial a Pastor. And, well, you think of something better. And I have people calling me up at all times of the day or night, and very often they are people who are suicidal. And I have discovered that about 90% of folks who are suicidal have lost out on relationship. They haven't a friend left in the world. And as long as they can discover one person left in the world to care for them, then the chances are that they will not commit suicide. If they have nobody left to care, then life is dead anyway. Without relationship, there is no life. And God declares in His Word that we were made for relationship. We were made to live in relationship or in love with each other and in love with Him, as He loves us. And without that love, we are not living. Jesus puts it like this, that unless you abide in Me in living relationship, as a branch abides in the vine, you are not living. When I was in college, I looked out of my window one morning, and we have a great horse chestnut tree there. And, you know, the kind with the great sticky buds. And I went out one morning and I picked one of these buds and I took it into my room and I stuck it in a jam jar. And there, day after day, as the sun came through the window, this sticky bud opened out and the leaves beautifully displayed themselves. Until one morning I woke up and I looked over on the windowsill and these leaves had gone like that. And I looked out of the window and I saw that the leaves were just opening out on the trees. And they were going to have the full life that they were intended because they still were receiving life from the tree. See, what had happened to my sticky bud, the moment that I broke it off, it was in the process of dying. However much it may have appeared in that window to look as if it was alive, it was already dying. And so many of us are like that. We say we're alive, but really we have put ourselves into a false environment. We think that by going to the right places and having the right kind of people around us, that we are living. Or we think that by taking the right kind of stimulus, whether it's alcohol or drugs or food or whatever, that that stimulus is giving to us life. But in fact, we are in the process of dying, declares the Bible. For without Jesus, there is only death. Only as we give ourselves in relationship to Jesus can we know life. As Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation, no death for those who are in Christ. In constant, loving communication with Him and receiving from Him day by day the resources for life in relationship. That's what Christianity is. Christianity is not just a set of rules. Christianity is not the greatest ethic by which that we can live. There are other ethics in the world that are equal to Christianity in what they say. Christianity is a person. It is the person of Jesus Christ, God the Son. And until we have that relationship, we do not have Christianity. We have the empty shell of religion. Somebody said to me at the door last week, I hope he's here, because I've been thinking a lot about it this week. Somebody said to me, I want to live my own life because when I see a person in need, I want to be able to respond in my own way. The Bible says that we respond not only in our own way, but in God's way. You see, so often our service is colored, isn't it? By what we think of the person that we're serving. Either we take a patronizing attitude toward them, or we only serve the people that we like. We like the look of him, or we like the look of her, and so they can receive of our service. But the Bible says that we are to allow the love of God to flow through us. And God's love knows no distinction. God's love is for all men and women, regardless of race, regardless of background, regardless of educational attainment or social standing. The love of God is for all men. And the Bible says that this is a principle of living, a principle of freedom, a principle of life, that only as we give ourselves in loving service do we in fact discover life. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And then in that most beautiful way goes on to declare, and you are my friends. I think that's the most beautiful phrase of all scripture, and you are my friends. Because he wants to love us and to serve us, he is prepared to lay down his life for us. And he says that this is a principle of living, that if you only seek for yourself, if you're only out to get, you live a warped and shriveled up existence that is entirely bondage. Only as you give do you actually flow out into the freedom of living. You remember the story, don't you, about old Scrooge? You know, Christmas Carol? How at the beginning of that story, he's sitting behind his desk counting his money. Like all you bankers, and all you people worried in the stock exchange, and all you insurance brokers, and all you Scrooges. What? Day off? What do you want a day off for? Huh? Get on with your work. Huh? Christmas? Humbug. Humbug, that's what I say about Christmas. Humbug, humbug, get on with your work, man. And Scrooge lives that warped, shriveled existence of his possessions. His life is wrapped up in his gold. And it isn't until the ghost of Christmas present and past and future take him through the window of his soul and show him what life ought to be and how he has made the mistakes of just living for himself, that he can at last open the windows and seeing a little boy down there shout, boy, what day is it? Christmas? Here, look, here's 5 pennies. Go and buy a turkey. We'd be happy if we could do that today. And at last he discovers that clutching this turkey in hand, going along to that home of poverty, he places it on the table and at the same time gives of himself, that he discovers the freedom and can kick his legs in the air and say, thank you very much, thank you very much, because that really was the nicest thing that anybody had ever done for him, was to show him that life does not consist of the abundance of the things that we accumulate, but rather in what we are prepared to give, the service that we are prepared to render. My old PT sergeant used to say to me, because I had a problem about getting up in the morning and going for my 5-mile run, it was a question of mind over mattress. And he'd say to me, "Listen, lad, if you are going to get strength, you're going to have to use it. Because that's the only way you get it, is to do your press-ups, do your running, and use every ounce of strength that you have. And then you will receive more." And that principle can be taken over to the principle of love and service, that only as we give do we receive. Only as we discover the loving acts, not of pious do-goodery, but of self-giving, do we discover life as God intended that we should live it. It's possible that I'm talking here this morning to somebody whose whole life is wrapped up with that one goal. Now, I'm not saying that ambition is wrong. I'm not saying that it's wrong for you to work where you are working. But I am saying this, that if the sum total of your life is in that goal that you have set for the things that you have, whether it is material possession or educational attainment or ideology or success as the world counts success, whatever it is, if that is the sum total of your life, you are living in bondage. You have not discovered the free life that God intended. For you to go out and meet with people, eyeball to eyeball, heart to heart, loving and receiving of their love, only then is life real. Only then have we received of the Lord. Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." Only because he knew the joy of taking up his own cross. The joy of laying down his own life for you and for me. He says, "Come unto me, all you who labor," and that has nothing to do with the election, "all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Laden with self, laden with things, laden with what you have, "and I will give you rest, and take my yoke upon you, and learn of me." And the yoke of Jesus is the cross. The cross by which he displayed his love for you. The cross by which you will display your love for him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we have received of your love. Lord Jesus Christ, we have received your sacrifice. Lord Jesus Christ, we have received of your life. Make us free as we give to you our love. As we give to you our sacrifice, as we give to you our life, and enable us to live in the freedom of loving relationships.
and service. To live in the freedom of truth. To live in the freedom of release from bondage. Amen.